listeners to Osho Radio. We welcome everybody to our new show. Today another program and the discourse by Osho that is quite confronting. So everybody sit back and relax, enjoy the program. Get ready.
Been going against the current, I was scared that I would sink. I was swimming, didn't realize that floating felt so sweet. Now I'm absolutely wasted and I'm accepting my defeat. Been busy in the future, I was running round the past. Now this moment's catching up with me and it's happening at last. I was living my dreams, I've been trying to beat the heat. Just like fighting with your shadow and I'm accepting my defeat. Fight to keep it going and you'll end up in a hole. Maybe money in the bank, but like a ghost without a soul. At the point where you are starving, no, you eat and eat and eat. Let it go now, let it happen. I'm accepting my defeat.
The discourse today is from the series Yoga, the Alpha and the Omega, number 4, volume 7. Man is living in the past, Osho is saying. And by the way, if you think Osho is not talking to you, you are wrong. He is always talking to you. And if you think Osho is not talking about you, you are wrong again. Osho is always talking about you. In this discourse, Osho gives you the message of Pratipasav, going back to the past, shaking off your chains and live in the present, and live and relive, live and relive, and live until there's nothing left and only the present remains. I would like to emphasize again that listening to the whole lecture is even much more beautiful than the part we are broadcasting. You can download the whole lecture from oshoworld.com. Under audio discourse.
man appears to be in the present, but that is only an appearance. Man lives in the past. From the present he passes, but he remains rooted in the past. Present is not really a time for the ordinary consciousness. For the ordinary consciousness, past is real time. Present, just a passage from the past to the future. Just a momentary passage. And for a Buddha consciousness, for an awakened being, only present is the existential. For ordinary consciousness, unaware, is sleepy. Like a somnambulist, past and future are real, present is unreal. When one awakes, only present is real, past and future both become unreal. Why this is so? Why you live in the past? Because mind is nothing but accumulation of the past. Mind is memory. All that you have done, all that you have dreamt, all that you wanted to do and could not do, all that you imagined in the past is your mind. Mind is a dead entity. And if you look through the mind, you will never find the present, because present is life, and life can never be approached through dead mediums. Life can never be approached through dead vehicles. Life cannot be touched through death. Mind is dead. Mind is just like dust gathering on a mirror. The more dust gathers, the less mirror is mirror-like. And if the layer is very thick, as it is on you, then the mirror does not reflect at all. Everybody gathers dust. Not only that you gather, you cling to it, you think it is a treasure. Past is gone. Why you cling to it? You cannot do anything about it. You cannot go back. You cannot undo it. Why you cling to it? It is not a treasure. And if you cling to the past and you think it is a treasure, of course your mind will want to live it again and again in the future. Your future cannot be but your modified past, a little refined, a little more decorated, but it is going to be the same, because the mind cannot think of the unknown. The mind can only project the known that you know. You fall in love with a woman. The woman is dead. Now, how you are going to find another woman? The other woman is going to be a modified form of your dead wife. That is the only way you know. Whatsoever you will do in the future will be nothing but a continuity of the past. You can change a little, a patch here, a patch there. But the main part will remain the same, just the same. Somebody asked Mullah Nasruddin, when he was dying, on his deathbed, that if you are given again a life, how you are going to live it, Nasruddin? Are you going to make any changes? Nasruddin pondered with closed eyes, thought, meditated, then opened his eyes and he said, yes. If I am given again a life, I will part my hairs from the middle. That has always been a wish. But my father always insisted not to do it. And when my father died, the hair had become so conditioned that they could not be parted from the middle. Don't laugh. If you are asked what you will do with your life again, you will make a slight change, just like this. A husband with a little different nose, a wife with a little different complexion, a house bigger or smaller, but they are nothing more than parting your hair from the middle. Trivia, not essential. Your essential life will remain the same. I look into your eyes and I see this you have done many, many times. Your essential life has remained the same. Many times you have been given lives. You have lived many times. You are very, very ancient. You are not new on this earth. You are older than the earth. Because you have lived on other earth also. Other planets. You are as old as existence. This is how it should be, because you are part of it. You are very ancient, repeating the same pattern again and again. That's why Hindus call it the wheel of life and death. Wheel, because it goes on repeating itself. It is a repetition. The same pokes come up and go down, come up and go down, come up and go down. Mind projects itself. Mind is past, so your future is not going to be anything else than the past. And what is past? What have you done in the past? Whatsoever, good, bad, this, that, whatsoever you do, it creates its own repetition. That is the theory of karma. If you were angry day before yesterday, you created a certain potentiality of anger for yesterday to be angry again. Then you repeated it. You gave more energy to the anger, the mood of anger. You rooted it more, you watered it. Now today you will repeat it again with more force, with more energy. And then tomorrow will be again a victim of today. Each action that you do or even think about has its own ways to persist again and again, because it creates a channel into your being. It starts absorbing energy from you. You are angry, then the mood goes and you think you are no more angry, then you miss the point. When the mood has gone, nothing has happened, only the wheel has moved and the spoke that was up has gone down. The anger was there on the surface few minutes before. Now the anger has gone down into the unconscious, into the depth of your being. It will wait for its time again to come. And if you have acted according to it, you have reinforced it. You have given again a lease for its life. You have given it again a power, energy. It is throbbing like a seed under the soil, waiting for the right opportunity and season. Then it will sprout. Every action is self-perpetuating. Every thought is self-perpetuating. Once you cooperate with it, you are giving energy to it. Sooner or later it will become a habitual form. You will do it, and you will not be the doer. You will do it just because of the force of habit. People say, habit is second nature. This is not exaggeration. On the contrary, this is an understatement. In fact, a habit finally becomes the first nature, and nature becomes secondary. Nature becomes just like an appendix in a book, or footnotes. Habit becomes the main part, the main body of the book. You live through the habit. That means the habit lives basically through you, not you. The habit persists itself. It has an energy of its own. Of course it takes the energy from you, but you cooperated in the past, you are cooperating in the present, and by and by the habit will become the master and you will be just a servant, a shadow. The habit will give the commandments, the orders, and you will be just an obedient servant, and you will have to follow it. Habits force you to do certain things. You are a victim. Hindus call it the theory of karma. That each action that you repeat, or each thought, because thought is also a subtle action in the mind, becomes more and more powerful. Then you are in the grip of it. Then you are imprisoned in the habit. Then you live life of a imprisoned man, a slave. And the imprisonment is very subtle of your habits and conditionings and actions that you have done. It is all around your body, and you are entangled in it. And you go on thinking and befooling yourself that you are doing it. When you get angry, you think you are doing it, and you rationalize it. And you say, the situation demanded it. I had to be angry, otherwise the child will go astray. If I am not angry, then things will go wrong. Then the office will be in a chaos. Then servants won't listen. I have to be angry to manage things, to discipline the child, to put the wife in a right place. I have to be angry. These are rationalizations. That's how your ego goes on thinking that you are still the boss. But you are not. Anger comes out of old patterns, out of the past. It is within you. Sometimes suddenly sadness comes, for no apparent reason at all. And sometimes one feels happy. Sometimes one feels euphoric, ecstatic. A man deprived of all social relationships, isolated in total comfort, supplied every need, moves through all the moods that you move in relationship. That means something comes from within. You hang it on somebody else, that is just a rationalization. You feel good, you feel bad, and these feelings are bubbling from your own unconscious, from your own past. Nobody is responsible except you. Nobody can make you angry, and nobody can make you happy. You become happy on your own, you become angry on your own, you become sad on your own. Unless you realize this, you will always remain a slave. The mastery of oneself comes when one realizes that I am absolutely responsible for whatsoever happens to me. Whatsoever unconditionally happens, I am responsible absolutely. In the beginning, it will make you very, very sad and depressed. Because if you can throw the responsibility on the other, you feel good that you are not in the wrong. What can you do when life is behaving in such a nasty way? You have to be angry. But remember well, the wife is behaving nasty because of her own inner mechanisms. She is not nasty to you. If you were not there, she would have been nasty to the child. If the child was not there, she would have been nasty to the plates. She would have thrown them on the floor. She would have broken the radio. She had to do something. Nastiness was coming up. It was just a coincidence that you were found reading your newspaper, and she became nasty to you. It is just coincidence that you were available in a wrong moment. You are angry not because the wife is nasty. She may have supplied the situation, that's all. She may have given you a possibility to be angry, an excuse to be angry, but the anger was bubbling up. If the wife was not there, you would have been angry all the same. With something else. With some idea. But anger had to be there. It is something that is coming from your own unconscious. Everybody is responsible, totally responsible for his own being, behavior. In the beginning it will give you a very depressed mood that I am responsible. Because you have always been thinking that you want to be happy. How can you be responsible for your unhappiness? You always desire blissfulness. How can you be angry on your own? And because of this, you throw the responsibility on the other. But if you go on throwing responsibility on the other, remember you will always remain a slave, because nobody can change the other. How can you change the other? Has everybody ever changed the other? One of the most unfulfilled wishes in the world, to change the other. Nobody has ever done that. It is impossible. Because the other exists in his own right. You cannot change. If you go on throwing responsibility on the other, you cannot change the other. And because you throw the responsibility on the other, you will never look that the basic responsibility is yours and the basic change is needed there inside you. This is how you are trapped. If you start thinking that you are responsible for all your actions, for all your moods, in the beginning a depression will take over. But if you can pass through that depression, soon you will feel light. Because now you are freed from the other. Now you can work on your own. You can be free. You can be happy. Even if the whole world is unhappy and unfree, that makes no difference. Otherwise, how a Buddha is possible? And how a Patanjali is possible? How I am possible? The whole world is the same. It is just the same as it is for you. But the Krishna goes on dancing and singing. He is freed. And the first freedom is to drop throwing responsibility on the other. The first freedom is to know that you are responsible. Then many things become immediately possible. The whole philosophy of karma is that you are responsible. Whatsoever you have sown in the past, you are reaping it. You may not be able to follow the link between the cause and the effect. But if the effect is there, the cause must be there somewhere in you. And that is the whole method of pratiprasava. How to move from the effect to the cause. How to go backwards and find the cause from where it is coming up. Whatsoever happens to you, you feel sad, just close your eyes and watch your sadness and follow it where it leads. Go deeper into it. Soon you will come to the cause. Maybe you will have to travel long because this whole life is involved. Not only this life, but many other lives are involved. You will find many wounds in you which hurt. And because of those wounds you feel sad. They are those wounds have not gone dry yet. They are alive. The method of pratiprasava, the method of going back to the source, from the effect to the cause, will heal them. How it heals? Why it heals? What is the phenomena implied in it? Whenever you go backwards, first thing, you drop the responsibility throwing on other, because if you throw the responsibility on the other, you go outwards. Then the whole process is wrong. Then you try to find the cause in the other, why the wife is nasty. Then the why goes on penetrating into the wife's behavior. You have missed the first step, and then the whole process will be wrong. Why I am unhappy? Why I am angry? Close the eyes and let it be a deep meditation. Lie down on the floor, close the eyes, relax the body, and feel why I am angry. Just forget the wife. That is an excuse. A, B, C, D, whatsoever. Forget the excuse. Just go deeper in you. Penetrate the anger. Use anger itself as a river. Into the anger you flow. And the anger will take you inwards. You will find subtle wounds in you. The wound must be somewhere in your memories. Go back. There may not be one wound, there may be many. Small, big, pass them, go deeper. Find the first wound, the original source of all anger. You will be able to find it if you try. Because it is already there, it is there. all your past is still there. It is like a film rolled, waiting inside. You unroll it. You start looking in the film. This is the process of pratiprasav. It means going backwards to the very root cause. And this is the beauty of the process, that if you can consciously go backwards, if you can consciously feel a wound, the wound is immediately healed. Why it is healed? Because a wound is created by unconsciousness, unawareness. A wound is part of ignorance, sleep. When you consciously go backwards and look at the wound, consciousness is a healing force. In the past, when the wound happened, it happened in unconsciousness. You were angry. You were possessed by anger. You did something. You killed a man. You have been hiding the fact from the world. You can hide it from the police. You can hide it from the court and the law. But how can you hide it from yourself? You know it hurts. And whenever somebody gives you an opportunity to be angry, you become afraid. Because it can happen again. You can kill the wife. Go back. Because at that moment when you murdered a man, are you behaved in a very angry and mad way? You were unconscious. In unconscious those wounds have been preserved. Now go consciously. Pratiprasav, going back means going consciously to things which you have done in unconsciousness. Go back. Just the light of consciousness heals. It is a healing force. Whatsoever you can become conscious will be healed. Then it will no more hurt. A man who goes backwards releases the past. Then the past is no more functioning. Then the past has no more grip on him. Then the past is finished. Then the past has no place in his being. And when the past has no place for your being, then you are available for the present, never before it. Because you need a space. The past is so much inside, a junkyard of dead things. There is no space for the present to enter. And that junkyard goes on dreaming about the future. So half the place is filled with that which is no more, and half the place is filled with that which is not yet. And present simply waits outside the door. That's why present is nothing but a passage from the past to the future. Just a momentary passage. Be finished with the past. Unless you are finished with the past, you are living a ghost life. Your life is not true. It is not existential. Past lives through you. The dead goes on haunting you. Go backwards. Whenever you have an opportunity, whenever something happens in you, happiness, unhappiness, sadness, anger, jealousy, close the eyes and go backwards. Soon you will become efficient in traveling backwards. Soon you will be able to go back in time. And then many wounds will open. When those wounds open inside you, don't start doing something. There is no need to do. You simply watch, look, observe. The wound is there. You simply watch, give your watching energy to the wound, look at it. Look at it without any judgment. Because if you judge, if you say this is bad, this should not be so, the wound will close again. Because then it will have to hide. Whenever you condemn, then the mind tries to hide things. That's how conscious and unconscious are created. Otherwise, mind is one. There is no need for any division. But you condemn, then the mind has to divide and put things into dark, in the basement, so you cannot see, and then there is no need to condemn. Don't condemn. Don't appreciate. You simply be a witness, an unattached observer. Don't deny. Don't say this is not good, because that is a denial and you have started suppressing. Be detached. Just watch and look. Look with compassion. And the healing will happen. Don't ask me why it happens. Because it is a natural phenomenon. It happens. It is just like at the 100 degrees, the water evaporates. You never ask why not 99 degrees. Nobody can answer. It simply happens that at 100 degrees, the water evaporates. There is no question why. And the question is irrelevant, because if it evaporates at 99, you will ask why. If it evaporates at 98, you will ask why. It is natural simply that at 100 degrees the water evaporates, and the same is in the inner nature. When a detached compassionate consciousness comes to a wound, the wound disappears, evaporates. There is no why to it. It is simply natural. It is how it is. It is how it happens. And when I say this, I say by experience. Try, and the experience is possible for you also.
Music in this program of Osho Radio was music from the world of Osho, both vocal and instrumental. Actually, maybe not everybody knows this, but some people have been working on the Osho Music Archive, and it has been placed under Sanya's Wiki. There you will find a lot of music, Osho songs, CDs, concerts. And some of that material you can download or either listen to it by streaming. And I'm sure it's going to be difficult to leave the site if you have to get up early tomorrow morning. It's a great site to explore. You listen to music also from Bindu, Narayani, and we're going to finish with some soft sway music by Karunesh. A number called Alibaba from his CD Global Spirit. Bye bye everybody, take care, until the next time. Namaste.